This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. At the very end of John chapter 16, Jesus says the following to His disciples. He says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." If you read through the Scriptures, one thing that becomes perfectly clear, we will suffer in this world. There's no sugarcoating it. As followers of Christ, we are told quite clearly in Scripture that not only will we have to face all the difficulties and trials that every other human being has to face in this world, but on top of it, we may have to be persecuted for our faith in Jesus. We will have hardships. We will have pain. We will be sad and lonely sometimes. My friends, unlike some false teachers today, having faith in Jesus is not the easy way out. Having faith in Jesus is not a guaranteed way to have your best life now. No. Having faith in Jesus means facing the fact that in this world you will have trouble. Having faith in Jesus means facing the fact that you will suffer in this world, and yet believing that in the midst of it all, God still loves you, and you have certain hope in Jesus. We see in Scripture that even Jesus was not exempt from suffering, was he? Not only did he allow himself to face all the difficulties we face, on top of that, every step he took closer to the cross was a reminder to him that he would have to endure the greatest suffering anyone could ever comprehend. Think about it. Not only was he dying one of the most horrible deaths ever invented by sinful humanity, but far worse than the agonizing physical suffering was the spiritual burden. Jesus was bearing every sin of every sinner that would ever be committed, past, present, and future. And the entire fire of God's wrath was being poured out on him in those few hours that he was on the cross. Yes, there was the physical agony, but underneath that was a spiritual suffering that we cannot even begin to comprehend. In fact, Jesus was willing to suffer that for us so that we would not have to. So it's no wonder that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating drops of blood, that he was so anxious. Imagine what Jesus had to face. He was arrested. He was abandoned by his closest companions. He was falsely accused of being a blasphemer. He was beaten by soldiers, flogged mercilessly, forced to wear a crown of thorns. And then when that crown of thorns was placed on his head, it was jammed into place over and over again as they banged his head with a staff. They put a purple robe on him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And after all of that, his hands and feet were nailed to a cross. But even more, as I've already told you, in that moment he was bearing the spiritual suffering of every human that ever existed. 800 years before that event took place, the prophet Isaiah predicted it. He wrote these words about Jesus. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." If you read through Isaiah chapter 53, he describes in great detail what Jesus would be going through on the cross. Not just the physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering. God pouring out his wrath on Jesus instead of us. Jesus being damned instead of us. Yes, Isaiah wrote about that 800 years before it took place. And so if Jesus was willing to face that kind of suffering, We need to be willing to face the fact that in this world, we will have trouble. In this world, we will face suffering. Both suffering caused by our sin, but also suffering that comes to us because we're following Jesus. All we have to do is take a look at St. Paul as an example of someone who faced suffering. Or an Old Testament example would be Job. If you read the book of Job, God allowed Job to suffer, not because he was punishing him for any particular sin, but he allowed Job to suffer in order to strengthen Job's faith, so that Job could learn to trust God when everything going on around him would suggest that he shouldn't trust God. But God used Job's suffering to help Job write those awesome words, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and in my flesh I will see God." Those words of Job, those words of faith uttered in the midst of his suffering, they became the basis for one of our greatest hymns, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And what about St. Paul? St. Paul has some insights into how to face suffering as human beings, and especially as followers of Jesus in this world. You need to remember that St. Paul did not live in an ivory tower. The apostles that were chosen by Jesus, they did not have their best life now. No, when Jesus chose them, he was very honest with them that they would have to suffer greatly for the privilege of being an apostle. Paul writes about some of the sufferings he had to face when he followed Jesus. Listen to what he says. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false teachers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Oh boy, sign me up. Paul knew what awaited him when Jesus called him, but he faced that suffering because he knew that through it all, God would somehow, some way, not only strengthen his own faith, but give him an opportunity to witness to others about the hope he had in Jesus. Yes, Paul knew suffering. He knew suffering in spades, and yet he was able to say by the Holy Spirit, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." He was even able to say this, "For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Now please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we American Christians have to feel guilty about the fact that we have it so good. It's just that we have to make sure that we don't become deceived because God has blessed us so abundantly. As I mentioned earlier, there are false teachers who have twisted the Christian faith into a health, wealth, prosperity gospel, as though the whole point of Christianity is treating God like a genie in a lamp and seeing how many blessings you can acquire while you're living in this world. That kind of preaching about Christianity is straight from the pit of hell. All the good things that we do have, yes, they're gifts from God. But they're undeserved. Undeserved gifts from God. And the moment we think we deserve them, the moment we think that following Jesus is about avoiding suffering, then we're missing the whole point. In fact, the amazing thing is not that we suffer. Because in a world broken by sin, we should be suffering every single day. The amazing thing is that we have as many days of pleasure and peace as we do. Especially here in America. If we add up all the days of our life, I'm sure the days that we spend in peace and pleasure versus the days we spend in suffering and pain, in most cases, I dare say, those days of peace and pleasure far outweigh the days of suffering and pain. And yet, what does the devil tempt us to do? He tempts us to take the days of pleasure and peace for granted, as though we deserve them, and then the moment that we suffer, we get angry with God. And the devil smiles. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. That's right, even we Christians in America, who have been so blessed by God, even though we don't deserve it, the fact is one way or another, sooner or later, we're going to suffer too. Not only do we have to face all the things that every other person in this world has to eventually face, suffering and death, but as Christians, the day may come, even here in America, where following Jesus will come at a cost, a great cost. That's why we can learn so much from someone like the Apostle Paul. The sufferings that Paul faced only made him bolder to serve the Lord. Paul goes on to make this remarkable comment. He says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." In other words, in the midst of our suffering, we can know that God loves us, and the proof is that He hung on a cross for us. If God was willing to endure that for us, certainly He's not going to forsake us. During our times of suffering, He's going to draw us closer to Himself. We need to remember that, my dear friends. So what can we learn from Paul, and also from Christ especially, about how we should face suffering? Well, it remains clear from Paul's comments that we should not wallow in our sufferings or consider ourselves somehow cursed or doomed. No. We need to look at our sufferings and see them as something that God will use to make us more mature in our beliefs, that He will use to give us deeper faith, that He will use us, that He will use to bring us closer to God and to others. We need to realize that in the midst of the suffering that God brings us, we may find ourselves praying more. We may find ourselves reading Scripture more. We may find ourselves perhaps thinking more about the spiritual aspect of our lives. In addition, through suffering, we come to understand more fully that we are not in control of our lives after all. Instead, we must rely on God and on others more than we initially thought. In addition to that, suffering can make us more sympathetic, can't it? Suffering makes us more sympathetic to the plights of others who might be in similar or worse situations. And it gives us a newfound purpose to be a beacon of hope to those who are feeling hopeless in this world. You see, that's another reason God allows believers to suffer, so that we can be a witness to others who have no hope in the midst of their suffering. We can assure people that even though suffering is difficult, it is not the end of the world. Because at the end of the world, Jesus will be there to take all of our suffering away, so that we will be able to rejoice with all those who have suffered through this life as fellow believers. And ultimately, we will come out on the other side redeemed and set free to live in God's love forever. So enduring persecution and mocking for being a Christian, even though it can be one of the toughest burdens we'd ever have to bear, we need to remember that no matter how bad it gets, that we have Jesus. Jesus, remember, was mocked and ridiculed on the cross, but He did not sulk. He did not throw a pity party. Instead, He looked at His enemies and prayed, "Father, forgive them." In the midst of His suffering, He thought of others. Remember last Wednesday's sermon? In the midst of His suffering, Jesus didn't think of Himself. Instead, He looked at His disciple and said, "John, behold your mother." And He looked at His mother and said, "Mother, behold your son." He was thinking of others even when He was on the cross. Jesus' attitude in suffering was not inward and self-centered, but it was outward and other-centered. And that should be our attitude as well, my friends. We need to look for practical ways that we can still be witnesses for our faith, even when things are not going the way we want them to go. So when we suffer, instead of complaining because things aren't going our way, we need to see suffering as an opportunity. An opportunity that God is giving us, not only to trust Him more, but also to be a witness to others and care for them. Now, I'm not saying there aren't times in the midst of our sufferings where we don't need to be served by others. Times like that will come. Also, I'm not saying that we have to deliberately go out and look for ways to suffer. No. The sufferings that help us to mature are the ones God gives us in His time and in His way. So we can go on and enjoy the blessings of life that God has given us, but always with the understanding that we're not in control. We give thanks to God for our blessings, knowing that they're undeserved mercies, but we also realize that in a heartbeat, God could change our circumstances. And when He does that, it's not because He's abandoned us. It's not because He's punishing us. No, when God brings suffering into our lives, when and where it pleases Him, it's to bless us and to allow us to become a blessing to others. You see, when we look beyond ourselves, when we look beyond our own personal suffering, we have a better view of the big picture of God's grand design for all of us. You know, the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, he gives us a picture of this ultimate destiny we can look forward to. You see, even though we live in this great tribulation now, even though we live in this world of suffering and sin, this will not be the way it will be forever. No, we have an eternal destiny that is so awesome that the sufferings of this life don't even begin to compare. Listen to what John has to write about our eternal destiny in Jesus. He says, "I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." And what were they saying? They were crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." We are now living in the great tribulation. We are living in a fallen world where sooner or later, one way or another, we will have to suffer and eventually die. But this is not our home. Through Jesus, we will one day come out of the great tribulation, and we will live forever in a new creation, a world without sin, pain, or death. But we get there only through Jesus, who made the way for us by His own suffering and death on the cross in our place of judgment. So in the midst of any suffering we may endure in life, we need to remember that the ultimate suffering has been taken from us. Jesus bore that suffering instead of us. Even though His physical suffering was great, I dare say probably greater than any of us will ever experience in life, His physical suffering was nothing compared to the spiritual agony He faced when He bore the wrath of God in your place and mine. That is a suffering we will never have to experience because Jesus endured it for us. And so when God does allow us to face suffering in this life, remember, He isn't ignoring you. He isn't forsaking you. He certainly isn't punishing you. Instead, He promises to work through any suffering He may allow you to face to draw you closer to Him, to make you more mature in the Lord, and to give you an opportunity to witness to others about the hope you have in Jesus, especially those who do not have that hope and need to receive it. So my friends, we can leave this place tonight and face the suffering that God will eventually bring into our lives in one way or another. But we can face that suffering with hope and peace because Jesus faced the cross for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment, we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.